Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
What say you? We do a little basketball here, Bart.
Let's do that basketball.
I'm in for Alan Han this week, who's off for the NBA All-Star break.
Off for nothing.
I do. I dabble in the basketball space from time to time, so I'll give it a try here because it is time for Han's Hoops Hierarchy. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management.
Basketball is my favorite sport.
Having a hard time figuring out where things fit?
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
You're in the right place.
What I say when it comes to this basketball team is the law.
Here's Han's Hoops Hierarchy.
Game blouses.
All right, let's give it a go. We resume the NBA season tomorrow. It's the stretch run, 25 to 30 games for each team coming off the All-Star break. So not the traditional midway point of the season. And I'm going to go through my top five storylines as the NBA season resumes. Let's get it going.
Number five.
So we had some conversation, Bart, about this on yesterday's show. The Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks of Doc Rivers. The Milwaukee Bucks of Damian Lillard under all that pressure. And, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks of Giannis Antetokounmpo. What exactly are the Milwaukee Bucks? Because as I look at them, they are, to me, the most maligned title contender with a top five player that I can remember seeing. They're 35-21. They're just a couple of years removed from winning their first NBA championship in a half century. But the last 3 weeks have been tumultuous at best. They had a 30-13 record and made the bold move of firing their head coach, Adrian Griffin. And it's safe to say it has not gone well since. They're now 35-21. Since making that move, they've gone 5-8. They pulled Doc Rivers out of the ESPN television booth, and they've gone 3-7 with Doc in charge. And there's just been a lot of noise surrounding this franchise. We heard J.J. Redick's comments yesterday about his former coach, Doc Rivers, and his lack of accountability throughout his career. Does Giannis boil over? Giannis is one of the most intense dudes I think that you'll see on a basketball court. And a lot of times the intensity boils up so much that I'm not sure if he's going to snap or not. We spoke yesterday, Bart, about the spotlight on Damian Lillard. You think that he's under more pressure than most other superstars in the NBA to deliver this season. Well, the one thing we know with Damian Lillard is he's going to have his opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and he hasn't been healthy. Listen, Doc Rivers, I don't know why people want to keep pulling people out the ESPN booth. It didn't work out for Jeff Saturday, and it doesn't look like it's going to work out for Doc Rivers. It's a lot of pressure on Giannis as well. And listen, I know he signed the extension, but how often have you heard this phrase? Disgruntled superstar wants out, he gets out. And, you know, they have to be careful because, remember, Giannis was hesitant to sign his extension until the Dame Lillard decision was made, until guys like Brooke Lopez was back. And if I'm Giannis, if I can't win with this team, I don't know if I can win with any, because Bobby Porter is only going to get older. You know, Brooke Lopez is only going to get older. And if they get bounced early, I don't know. Like, can you fire another coach? How many coaches are they still have a payroll? You mentioned they won the title 2 years ago. Well, guess what? They were paying that coach too. Yep. And now they're paying Griffin. Yep. Now they're paying Doc.
Yep.
So
yeah, Doc doesn't work for free.
So what I'm trying to say is, like, this can be a disgruntled superstar that wants out and a team that has to reset. They're already good. They won a championship, so their fan base understands that they won. Giannis doesn't seem like the most loyal guy when you think about tied to stand with Milwaukee. So this is something that I feel like Knicks fans have to watch. I feel like everybody has to watch because Giannis could be shaking loose.
I think the Knicks fans felt they were close last offseason. Giannis made some comments to the New York Times basically saying that in a year I have to make sure that the franchise's commitment to winning is the same as my commitment to winning.
Right.
And what resulted from that was the trade for Damian Lillard, and they gave up a lot. And in doing that, they sent Drew Holiday, who's a perfectly fitted piece to one of their chief rivals in the Eastern Conference, the Boston Celtics. So,
well, they didn't send him here directly. They sent him to Portland first.
They had to have had some foresight to know that that was a possibility. Where did they think he was going to go? To Charlotte?
Yeah, that was interesting. But I'll tell you what, man, like it's something to watch. And does Doc have enough time and practice time to pull this team together? That's the issue. No practice time when it's the regular season come. You're hitting the ground running. So can they, one, get their defense rotations? Because, you know, you get Dame Dolan, you get one of the best shooters in all of basketball, one of the best closers, but you also get a defensive liability, and teams are going to search them up. They can't figure out how to beat down. They better hope they don't play the Pacers in the first round, because they can be exited in the first round just playing the Pacers by themselves.
So that's my number five storyline. Are the Milwaukee Bucks title contenders?
Number four.
All right. Go to the Western Conference. Can either of the old Lions in the West make a stand? And, of course, I'm talking about the L.A. Lakers, and I'm talking about the Golden State Warriors. Currently, the Lakers are in ninth place in the Western Conference, 3.5 games behind the sixth spot, which would avoid the play-in tournament. The Warriors are in 10th place. They're 5 games behind 6. Now, they're both playing their best basketball of the season. Lakers are 8-3 in their last 11. That includes an impressive nationally televised win over the Knicks at Madison Square Garden that snapped their 9-game winning streak. The Warriors are 8-2 over their last 10. They're going to be at the Garden a week from tomorrow on February 29th for their one and only visit. Both teams have proven winners. Both went to the Western Conference second round last year. The Lakers beat the Warriors there and advanced to the Western Conference Finals. The Lakers still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The Warriors still have Stephen Curry and Draymond Green. So it's a scary what are you laughing at, Draymond? You're laughing at Draymond.
Right. That's combined 20 points. That's combined 30 points.
Draymond's value is on the other side of the court.
Kuminga and the Golden State Warriors.
Kuminga's playing the best basketball of his career right now, and it's led to that 8-2 record over their last 10 games. So, listen, are they a team with Curry and with the infrastructure of that team as they continue to play well that you're going to want to face in the first round of the playoffs? Either of these two teams, the Lakers or the Golden State Warriors. But here's the interesting thing. If the season ended today, they would actually face each other in the play-in tournament in an elimination game. But the Lakers and the Warriors, are their recent hot stretches just a hot stretch, or is it the sign of either or both of those teams being able to make one last stand during the stretch run of this season?
I mean, let's start with Golden State. When I look at Golden State, you know, you talk about, you know, sending Klay to the bench. You know, he was, you know, sourpuss, you know, the first time. The second time he came out, put up 30 points coming off the bench. He's going to have to embrace that role. But even with that, I just don't know if they're big enough or they're deep enough with enough scoring to be able to do that. I mean, poor Steph, you know, they're wasting his prime. And I think this offseason we're definitely not going to see Klay on this team. And they have to try and figure out how they can get better. And, you know, some of the tradable pieces is Wiggins. And Wiggins just – nobody wanted him. They made him available. Nobody wants him. You got Moody. Kuminga is young and talented, but I don't know if he's ready to take it to the next level. I think this is a lost season for the for the Golden State Warriors, and will management continue to want to pay the luxury tax that they have to pay, especially with the new rules coming in? This could be the end for the Lakers as we know it. This could be the end for the Golden State Warriors as we know it, the end of an era, at least in this iteration. And I don't know if – I know Steph's not going anywhere. I know LeBron's not going anywhere. But can you make major deals and major moves? You know, LeBron and the Lakers don't have any more moves left. Hell, do they have a first-round draft pick before 2030?
2029, I believe they can trade.
you see what I'm saying? So, you know, they got to start thinking about the future. They got their bubble championship. LeBron can say, I came to L.A. and I'm one of the free agents that won. But I think it's over with, man. When you look at what's going on in the West, everybody's so much better, younger, bigger, more exciting, better salary cap space. Denver, OKC is somebody to deal with. Anthony Edwards, that's three. You can't sleep on Sacramento. The Clippers are the prime. That's four right there. I can't believe if they get matched up with any one of those that they can win a series.
As Bart steps all over one of my upcoming storylines.
Bam.
Guess what, by the way? When the second half of the season resumes tomorrow, it will be the Lakers against the Warriors in San Francisco. As we move on.
Number three.
Now we'll keep this one close to home. It's the Knicks. Can they get healthy? And if fully healthy, what kind of a run can they make in the postseason? Now, if they're healthy, and we spoke about this yesterday, Bart, is there a team in the East outside of Boston that the Knicks can't beat? And frankly, can they beat Boston? The Knicks 1 through 12 have the most depth in the Eastern Conference. Now, the Celtics 1 through 6 are the best team in the NBA. But assuming health for the Knicks, and that's the more important part of this question, okay? And OG Anunoby spoke yesterday, and it doesn't sound like his return is around the corner. It doesn't sound like Julius Randle's return is around the corner. So we're going to have to wait and see a little bit longer for those two really important guys. But if fully healthy, do the Milwaukee Bucks scare you from a Knicks perspective? I would say no. How about the 76ers? How about the Cavaliers? We saw that movie last spring. So can the Knicks make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals? I think they can.
I concur. Message is authentic. I mean, we go with the Inspector Gadget. I mean, listen, I think they can compete with anybody. Now, I think sneaky, and they need to figure out and prove that they can do something with Indiana, because Indiana is starting to become a dark horse. They made the trade for Siakam. Let's see what, you know, they playing well. Halliburton, you know, was on an MVP caliber type of season, an all-NBA type of season before the injuries and the restrictions for him. And now, all of a sudden, now we got to deal with these pesky Cavaliers. So, you know, it's a lot to be proven, but I think the most important is health and battle of attrition. So what team, you know, has to play without their superstar or a compromised superstar like the Knicks had to last year when Julius Randle hurt his foot?
33-22 at the break, 27 games remaining. They resume in Philadelphia tomorrow against the 76ers, and then they're home for four games. The Celtics, the Pistons, the Pelicans, and the Warriors. They go to Cleveland, and then another four-game homestand against the Hawks, the Magic, and two against the 76ers. So not the easiest schedule in the world, especially considering they're likely not going to be 100% for a bunch of those games.
Number uno.
Number two.
How will the West be won? You mentioned the key players in this earlier, Bart. You got Minnesota in first place, Oklahoma City, the Clippers, and Denver. The top four teams right now in the West are separated by three games. On top of that, a team that I'm still keeping my eye on is Phoenix. They're 14-8 this season when Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal all play. They're 19-14 without them, and they're only three games behind Denver. Phoenix is currently in fifth place in the Western Conference. Denver has lost three in a row, but they proved last year that they can turn it on in the playoffs. They slumped down the stretch of the regular season last year. They still had the number one seed, and they have one of the best home court advantages in the NBA. They also have the best player in the NBA who has proven that he can do it at a high level in the postseason. The team to watch for me from Denver's perspective is Minnesota because of their size, not just inside with Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, but they've got a lot of length on the perimeter as well.
Now,
and
I think
all the teams in the West, they're the toughest matchup for Denver. So where are you going in this quintet of Minnesota, OKC, the Clippers, Denver, and I'll include Phoenix in there?
I think Phoenix is by far the furthest away. So if I had to bet them, I would probably say give me the four superstars, all accepting their role when you talk about the Clippers. Then I say, okay, let's go there. Then I would probably go Denver because the heart of a champion, the best player on the planet, and Jokic. Then I'm probably going OKC. It's neck and neck between OKC and Minnesota, man. You know, but you think that maybe the experience that Minnesota got last year in the playoffs helped them out a little bit. I don't know, man. This is crazy.
It's crazy.
It can be anybody. And health is going to be a big thing. And also matchups, right? Because if you look at the matchups, maybe with OKC gets matched up against the Nuggets, maybe that's a bad matchup
because
they don't have enough. And Chet is like a string bean, man. Like Jokic eats that for lunch, you know. So, but if they get matched up against, Phoenix, you know, that youth and the pressure that they can put on Booker and Bill with that bad back. It's going to be interesting, man. The West is wide open, and that's why I say that L.A. and Golden State has no chance.
L.A. and Golden, yeah, well, that's fair. OKC, to me, is the one real kind of unknown in this whole thing. And I put them, if I'm ranking these five teams, I actually put them at the bottom just because of their inexperience, and I also don't like the fact that they didn't beef up their front line at the trade deadline.
But they did go to the playoffs last year, so they do have playoff experience.
Play-in experience. Did they
get play-in experience.
Play-in, yeah, they lost in the play-in tournament.
But, yeah, they probably have, I think, a little bit less than 7,000 draft picks from all the trades they've made. I was surprised that they didn't do anything.
You couldn't cash one of them in for Daniel Gafford?
Yeah, I just thought they was going to try and do something a little bit more. I mean, hell, Drummond. I don't know if Drummond fits, but he a big body that can smack the arm of Jokic. But they're definitely a team that in the future – it's going to be something to deal with, but it could be a year too early for them.
I think it is. I give Denver the edge, the experience. They have the best player. They just did it last year. And the other reason I give them the edge over the Clippers, who I have number two, is still health. I you know, we saw it again last year. Clippers looked really good in the playoffs. Kawhi Leonard was the best player on the floor against the Phoenix Suns, and next thing you know, he was gone.
But he's playing back-to-back this year.
I know. So. He's playing now. Listen, I put the Clippers second. I actually put Phoenix third in that group, followed by Minnesota and Oklahoma City. I'm a little higher on Phoenix than most, I would guess. And that brings us to
number one.
Yeah! Are you taking the Celtics or are you taking the field? Because I don't know if we're overthinking this or not, but the Celtics at 43-12 have just been so much better than every other team in the NBA this season. They're six games ahead of everyone in the East. They're four games ahead of everyone else in the NBA. They've got a plus 10.1 point differential. That's the best in the NBA by nearly 3 points per game. And they're virtually unbeatable at home. They're 26-3 at home. And unless something drastic changes over the last 25 or so games, they are going to have home court advantage through the NBA Finals.
No, they lost to a brickless brick. I just don't know, man. Like they can disappear, man. They've come up small, and you wait for this group who has tremendous experience in the postseason to finally see it forward, man. They've been in the finals and they've fallen flat. You know, do you trust the coach to make the right moves and adjustments? Because I know that's been some of the criticism there. And it's all, you know, you talk about Kawhi and how nervous you are about Kawhi. Well, how do you feel about Porzingis and his health history? So do you think that he can stay healthy and deep for a big run? You know, because this is a totally different team without Porzingis there. He's what makes them special because he's a stretch five who can shoot the jumper but also – play traditional big man where you alter shots and be able to make it difficult in the lane. We saw that firsthand against the Knicks in the first game of the season. Everybody has question marks. And
it's amazing,
I don't know
right?
if I feel comfortable about any of them. I can see any of these worst-case scenarios happening for the team.
It's so hard to predict the teams where the question mark is health. And the Knicks are one of those teams. The Clippers are one of those teams. And, yeah, the Celtics are one of those teams because of Kristaps Porzingis. He's been in and out of the lineup all year long. When he's in the lineup, they are the best team with the best starting five by far in the NBA. They're starting five of Drew Holiday, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Porzingis, a 10.6 net rating. But if Porzingis is out, then my feeling on the Celtics changes considerably. All right, that is Hans Hoops Hierarchy. He presumably will be back to do it himself next week. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com. It's Barton Hahn on 98.7 ESPN New York. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. We'll open the phone lines back up, 1-800-919-3776. Also, audio files coming up as we continue on this Wednesday afternoon on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Local basketball teams resume tomorrow night. The Knicks, as we mentioned, in Philadelphia. The Nets are in Toronto to take on the Raptors. It'll be the Nets' first game with their interim head coach, Kevin Ollie, who has a lot of head coaching experience on the college level, leading UConn to the national championship back in 2014. For the Knicks, no Randle and no OG Anunoby still. The hope is that the other Knicks who were out of action just before the All-Star break, the DiVincenzos, the Hartensteins, the Bojan Bogdanovichs, will be able to play against a 76ers team that will once again be missing Joel Embiid. And those two teams are only separated by a half game in the standings right now. Knicks a half game ahead of the 76ers, who are tied in the loss column with the Knicks. All right, 1:30. You know what that means. It is time for us to step aside and let the newsmakers of the day have their say. It is time for
Audio File.
The Audio File.
All right, here we go. We haven't touched on the baseball yet.
Let's do that baseball.
A lot of conversation about it yesterday. We heard from Aaron Judge yesterday.
Yeah.
Back, presumably healthy. We think, anyway.
We think.
That's the key to the Yankees season. We can agree that's a linchpin to the Yankees' success this year, is Aaron Judge being healthy and available to play, because he and Juan Soto aren't the best 1-2 combination in baseball if one of them ain't there.
That is true, and that's what you could worry about when you give the guy the bag and he's 280 and he's 6'6". You hope that you ain't regretting it like A-Rod, and you hope that he can stay healthy, and the twinkle, twinkle toes has already had me concerned.
There you go. Toes. No pun intended, or perhaps it was intended, because Aaron Judge addressed yesterday at spring training the injured toe that kept him out of action for several weeks in the middle of last season.
Yeah, it's just going to be, a constant maintenance, I think, the rest of my career. It's just something, anything with injuries like that, you just got to stay on top of it so it doesn't flare up again or something doesn't happen again. So we're feeling good right now. We're out there. We're moving. We're grooving. So we're going to try to keep it that way.
Who is
Bart,
he,
when
Clyde
it comes
Frazier?
To toe injuries, I will defer to you.
It's moving and grooving, Clyde Frazier style? Well, I don't like that he's concerned about it and thinking about it. It is a reality that you worry about, you know, how that toe is compromised. I don't think he had – did he have surgery on it? I don't know if he had surgery on it. I had a screw put in my toe, and I told you that he was going to be out. I told Allen that he was going to be out when he was out, saying, hey, this is not a quick fix, because, you know, just imagine trying to do anything with a thumb. I just worry about, like, him and if he ever stubs that toe again. Because you can also get turf toe again, and that joint becomes arthritic. And when it becomes arthritic, it becomes a lot harder to manage when you think about swelling, pain, and things of that sort. So, you know, health is going to be a key. And, you know, at least you have a guy like Juan Soto. If he's down, he has to take some time off because of inflammation that can carry the load offensively. At least you hope.
He was limited to 106 games last season, and really things kind of cratered for the Yankees after the injury that he suffered on June 3rd. He did not return until after the All-Star break on July 28th, so out of action last year for a full month and a half. And Juan Soto, well, he's an interesting piece to this puzzle because he is now here, giving the Yankees, when healthy, two upper echelon batters right in the middle of that batting order. And Judge was asked about that combination, because could we see Judge bat second and Juan Soto bat third, or Soto second and Aaron Judge third? Well, Judge was asked about that scenario.
Man, when you got a guy like Soto, I'd love to hit behind him. You know, if he hits two, you know, or even if, you know, I'm hitting second, he's hitting third, and he's driving me in, you know, I'll take either of those outcomes, because that means we're scoring runs. So, you know, however Boone's going to come up with the lineup, you know, I know he puts a lot of thought into that. You know, he asks a lot of us, too, as players, like how we feel about certain things. I know he knows that matters to us. So I'll be happy anywhere Soto hits. As long as he's in the lineup every day, I'm going to be happy.
Okay, I mean, like you talk about, providing some protection for Judge. But also, I thought that you always want your best hitter at number two so you can get multiple at-bats. It'd be interesting to see, because I thought it would be a competition, a healthy competition between him and Giancarlo. Giancarlo hasn't been able to stay healthy. Like, you know, you talk about guys pushing for who's the best player on the team. And, you know, finally now I think Judge has a guy that, one, he can mentor, but two, that's as talented as him and eventually will be the best player on the team if he's not already the best player on the team now.
He might be the best offensive player in Major League Baseball right now.
Is he better than Acuna?
He could be.
If you start on a team, who are you starting with?
Probably Acuna, because he does more.
Okay.
Better defender, better base stealer. But as far as just strictly from the batter's box out, getting on base, I think Juan Soto could be the best in Major League Baseball at doing that. I like him at two because we're assuming DJ LeMay, who's going to be in the leadoff spot, he's a righty. You know, I think it's always beneficial when you can to alternate righties and lefties. So you go with the righty LeMahieu and then Soto at number two. Also, he gets on base at a higher rate than Judge, or a higher rate than anyone. And Judge is a better run producer. So if you get those guys on base in front of Aaron Judge, I think it works nicely too. I think Judge is on the right track.
Yeah, you can't pitch around him then at that point too, right? Especially if he's on base, yeah.
Yeah, come with Anthony Rizzo four. You keep the righty-lefty thing going, and away you go. Giancarlo Stanton at five if he's healthy. All right, so we'll see how that all plays out. Yankees spring training games begin this weekend. Meanwhile.
Already?
Yes, sir.
We just finished football.
Well, here we go. Games this weekend. We spent some time this week talking about the Brooklyn Nets and their head coaching situation. On Monday, Jacque Vaughn, in the middle of the All-Star break, was relieved of his duties as their head coach. Relieved of his duties for the second time with the Brooklyn Nets.
Don't call me again.
Was replaced by Steve Nash, and then he replaced Steve Nash, and then was given the permanent role. So Sean Marks, who has seen several iterations under his stewardship as the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. He came into Brooklyn when they were the worst team in the NBA with no draft picks, and he saw them through the rebuilding era, which led to the Kevin Durant and Kyrie era, which begat the Durant, Kyrie, and James Harden era, which
Ben Simmons era.
Spun into the KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons era. And now, well, now you got a 21-33 team that's 6-18 in its last 24 with no clear direction. So perhaps Sean Marks can provide us with some direction. He was asked if there is concern that potential free agents and coaches would see his franchise that once prided itself on culture. Could people see his franchise and team as unstable?
I would hope not. I mean, I think it's in some way it's pro sports. It's unfortunately the world we live in. I couldn't have predicted the last 5 or 6 years, like none of us in this room could have predicted. So the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows that not only we've gone through, but everybody's gone through. I think I could make, you know, every excuse, but my job isn't up here to say, well, we all had to go through this, that, or the other, and the continuity from injury and so forth. So I'm going to move on from that, focus on these guys right now. And, you know, as I said, we've shown the ability to put this franchise, you know, at the top of the map, and that's the plan to do again. And we want this to be a destination where not only free agents want to come, but where we can develop our own guys. So we've shown we've done that in the past. We want to do that again. And, you know, we've got our own free agents to recruit. We've got to show them that there's a path to win here, and that's really, really important, not only for them, but for our fan base as well.
Did I miss something? Yeah, they developed when they just had a bunch of guys, LeVert, Jared Allen. Then as soon as they got good, they traded them.
Couldn't trade them fast enough.
Like, what culture? Like, the culture is for sale.
The culture ended the day that they signed Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
But it's not the first time. This is the second time this organization has went big fish hunting and brought in guys. Last time it was a bunch of old guys.
Yes, it was. And Sean Marks actually did a masterful job digging out of that. When he took over the Nets, they were 20-62 his first year. And in 2016, because of that trade with the Celtics, Boston was able to swap picks with the Nets, and they got Jaylen Brown. And then the next year, the Nets' position in the lottery won the lottery, but it had to go to Boston, and they got Jason Tatum.
Man, I tell you, you talk about losing a deal. That might be one of the worst deals in the history of sports. They basically gave Boston their dynasty. Or not dynasty, because they haven't won yet. But
yeah, Boston hasn't made it into a dynasty, but it's trending in that direction. More so than the Nets are trending in that direction. They did spend, I would say, a week and a half on the top of the map, as Sean Mark said. The difficult thing is when you're not the number one team in the city, are you going to be able to do it again? Because we spoke about this with the caller earlier, all of the planets had to align for the Nets to be in position in New York, where they were the more attractive franchise than the more established franchise, at the exact same time that two stars like Durant and Irving became available and were in position to choose the Nets. That happened once. You don't win the lottery twice. You won the lottery there, and it netted you one playoff series victory, the exact amount of playoff series victories that the Knicks have won during that exact same time frame.
Yeah, now, like you said, to your point, now Knicks are the attractive destination. You have teams and people looking at the Knicks like, man, they love playing in the Garden. They see what's going on. All of a sudden, Tibbs isn't the guy that people are clamoring for. This is a guy that last year they were clamoring for him to get fired. And now he may, if he continues to play at a high level, he'll be in a conversation for Coach of the Year, which he's already done that once. You know, and I don't know if lightning strikes twice. You know, I know that's what Sean Marks is hoping for, but the Knicks are the cooler team and seems like the better run organization right now. And I know that's subjective, but, you know, trends change and trends start in the NBA. And it looks like right now, if you're picking a team in Gotham City, it's one that you want to be with, it's the Knicks.
Yeah, in every way, shape, and form. And that game in late January, where the Nets were in position to upset the Knicks, and then the Knicks had a huge fourth quarter comeback, and there were 90% Knicks fans inside Barclays Center. If you didn't know before then, you knew after then. Let's get one more here as we wrap up Audio Files on the Nets. I guess the face of the franchise now is Mikal Bridges, who went in Phoenix and starting for an NBA Finals team was a fine complimentary piece, but now he's the face of an NBA franchise, and he spoke yesterday on the situation right now in Brooklyn.
I mean, things ain't going good right now, and that's life. You know, you just kind of see what type of person you are, type of man you are, and I wasn't raised to, when things get tough, you know, to want to leave and get out and things like that, so I know a lot of people might think about different situations and teams. With, obviously, I got my boys over there in New York and stuff, so obviously everybody goes with that. But, you know, I never was the type of guy to ever, you know, put more on my shoulders and things get tough and it's time to cry out and get out. You know, obviously going to be frustration, and you point to frustration, you get frustrated throughout the season. That's just how I am and how people are that really wants to win and compete. And but no, definitely got to be that. I'm here now and want to stay here, and I'm going to keep grinding and getting to wherever we got to get to win. And, you know, that's what I'm here for. You know, I'm here to win. And
I'm here now.
Don't mean nothing with the accolades. It all comes with it. So
I'm here now. I'm here now. Yeah, now. Like, listen, they could have got a haul and got a bunch of picks back from Houston and some talent back from Houston if they wanted to. You know, Bridges is the only thing that they can sell. I'm just so happy that, you know, if Ben Simmons was going to get hurt, he got hurt during the season before they decided to him to fool them and play well, like he loved basketball, like he's going to heal and be, he's recovered and stuff like that. And then you sign him, then he's in and out of lineup for the next 3 years. You can't get rid of his contract. So, you know, they'll be moving on from Ben Simmons. He tried it, and, you know, let's see if they can build around Bridges, if that's the way they decide to go. But always have Bridges sitting there looking at his boys, having a hell of a time, jumping on their podcast.
It didn't take him long to bring up the cushy situation that those Villanova boys are in across the river right now. My, how things have changed over the last 3 or 4 years and the fortunes of the two New York franchises. All right, that's Audio Files. We'll open the phone lines back up, 1-800-919-3776. A lot of conversation on Saquon Barkley. More NFL offseason news that we'll touch on as well as we continue on Bart and Hahn on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Incidentally, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly.
Better quit playing that funky stuff there.
We spoke about KD and really the kind of whole path of the Brooklyn Nets franchise these last several years. Well, Durant and his... What is Rich Kleiman? His partner, his manager? What's the official title label?
His business partner.
There you go. His business partner. Rich Kleiman and Kevin Durant, of course, have this boardroom venture where they produce content, and they sat down for a lengthy interview in a very nice backdrop in front of a nice fire. It looked like a really nice setting wherever they were. Spoke about a number of topics. Now, Kleiman, even during the pursuit of Durant as a free agent in 2019, and this was kind of the ace in the hole that a lot of Knicks fans thought they had. Kleiman's a New Yorker and a New York Knicks fan, so there was a lot of thought at the time that maybe he would be directing his client towards the Knicks. That, of course, did not happen. But Kleiman, during their conversation on the boardroom, here he is telling KD where he really wanted him to go.
When you tell the camera and whatever Knicks fans watch this, that I wanted you to go to the Knicks, bro. Please.
Definitely did. More than anything.
I'm on an island in New York right now. Because then all of a sudden I was all in Brooklyn. Like, I left 42
years. I know that was so hard. It was so hard to do.
Of an obsession.
And that's why I love you so much. I knew, and that's probably the toughest thing about anything.
That was tough. You thought I had blinders on. You thought I had, rose-colored
like
glasses.
Like Knicks blinders.
Yeah. But at the same time, I thought that, I was just like, dog, come to the garden.
You were, if anybody was like my dad, you, you love the Knicks.
Oh, yeah, your dad was with me, heavy.
My aunt loved the Knicks.
Yeah. Yeah, but does he admit that he chose wrong?
He did choose wrong.
He still didn't admit that he chose wrong.
No.
And that if Kyrie wasn't gonna come, if he said, "Man, I ain't going there. I'm going to the Knicks," Kyrie would have said, "All right, let's go there then."
Yeah,
he let Kyrie convince him. If he had all that influence from Kleiman to say, "Hey, come here," and Kyrie was able to convince you, otherwise, if you said, "Nah, man, I ain't going there, bro. I'm good. If not, I'm just gonna go link up with Kawhi," then. Kyrie would have said, you know what? No, okay. Come on, man. Stand up, man. You're the older, more senior OG anyway. You don't let the young buck tell you where to go because he got some rose quartz and some sage.
Well, that was a big part of the problem for Kevin Durant. He always just seemed to be a tick off on his decision making. And that was a crucial point in his career, because that was at a point in his career where he was still in his prime and had time to write the narrative. Now, he's basically, you know, we spoke about the Western Conference contenders earlier, where Phoenix stands right now. They're the fifth best team in what is now a loaded and a stacked Western Conference. He always, just in terms of basketball, not in terms of anything else, in terms of his situation, always seems to be just a day late and a dollar short.
Yep, see? He does. He's starting to share a brain, man.
Right. Three days together.
And he's gonna have to live with that, too, because now he would have been in the right situation. And I understand what he was coming off the injury. He wasn't going to be able to play. So harder for a starter to say, hey, I'll go there knowing that I have to carry the load because you won't be able to play the first year. And Kyrie even the year where Kyrie decided not to play when they were going in the bubble, they could have won that bubble championship. KD was ready and able to come back, and he could have came back, but they decided, okay, not only did Kyrie not play in a bubble, but he convinced everybody else not to play in a bubble, and it was the easiest championship to try and probably win.
Yeah, instead they had a plucky team that lost in the first round. I think they were swept by the Toronto Raptors that year. And then the next season was when they went to the second round of the playoffs and came within a shoe size of reaching the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's hear more from KD and Rich Kleiman, because, you know, the one quote that's been attributed to Durant in recent years is when he had said that the Knicks aren't cool. So here he is being asked about that.
Do me a favor, clear up something you said for me 5 years ago. Admit the Knicks are cool.
At that time, they weren't. I mean, the Knicks weren't cool, but they are a cool brand. Like, when the Knicks are, like, on, like, right now, when they popping right now. They're
popping.
Playing well. Last few years, they were playing well. But before that, they wasn't playing well.
But you knew the brand was cool.
The brand was cool, but at the time, I'm not looking at the cool brand outside of the game. I was looking at the team. And the team was not cool to play for. The team was not cool to watch. It wasn't a good team to watch. I might have embellished a little bit about, like, the brand. I might have, like, threw the brand.
There we go.
There
you know
too.
It's cool, bro.
But, yeah, of course the Knicks brand. Like, New York is – living in New York made me truly realize that it's the greatest city in the world.
It really is, brother.
It really is.
Come back then, because this thing's going to blow up out in Phoenix, man. I can't see this being successful long term. They just don't have enough, man. They don't have the assets to go get the people. They're trying. I love me some Eric Gordon. You know, I just don't know Bill is the wrong third starter to hitch their wagon to.
Why is this all coming out now?
Because he know people want to hear the story and he's trying to sell content. Business man.
And can it also be that he feels the same way that you feel about the situation in Phoenix and he's looking for his next opportunity?
Exactly. And I'm thinking it's going to be Devin Booker that say, I'm out. I'm going to the cool team.
Yeah, if you're the Knicks and you can choose between Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, there's no choice who you would want. It's Devin Booker.
Exactly. He's a younger star. He's got more more years in front of him than behind him when you think about KD. I just don't think that's going to end well, man. I don't think Bill can hold up long enough to be able to win anything. And, you know, it's who's the coach out there? Because Monty Williams is in there. And
Frank Vogel.
Yeah, Frank Vogel. Great coach, defensive coach.
Yeah.
The West is lit right now, man.
They've played well with
some Beal. Young guns.
They're 14-8 when the three of them play, and that's good over the, you know, and the offense has been excellent, but it's still too early to tell. But again, this just seems to me like another example of what we just said with Durant's decision making, a day late and a dollar short. It sounds like now I hate to use the word follower, but that's kind of what he's been. Now he sees that the Garden is what the Garden has become. In the playoffs last year, with Jalen Brunson leading the way, and it's been exemplified this season as the Knicks have ascended to one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. But what he doesn't seem to understand, it's almost like Durant doesn't have enough faith in his basketball ability. Because I'm not, and I've never questioned his basketball ability. He is one of the best offensive players at the forward position in the history of the game. But he never seemed to have enough confidence that him alone could help turn a situation around. He got Oklahoma City to a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals. He didn't play well down the stretch of that series. They blew the series. So instead of trying to run it back and beat the Warriors the next year, he went and he joined the Warriors because it was kind of a basketball utopia situation. And then he didn't like how he was being perceived by going to Golden State, people saying he took the easy way out. His excuse and response to that has always been, it's my career, I can make the decisions I want to make. And that's absolutely true. But by the same token, fans absolutely have the right to say, you took the easy way out. So you made the decision to go to Golden State and not get the ultimate credit because you were never going to be the number one guy on that team because it was Stephen Curry. And you've got to live with that decision. Or you've got to find a better situation or what he thought was a better situation. And that's what led him to Brooklyn, but only because he was teaming up with another star. It's like he didn't have the courage to go to New York by himself and see if he could if that was enough to turn that situation around.
Well, everybody in this today's age is not going to go somewhere if they're the only star, right? So I'm not faulting him for that, but he doesn't have the conviction to kind of put his own squad together, and I don't know if going to Phoenix if that was him putting his own squad together, right? And I know LeBron went to Miami and that was Dwayne Wade's spot. He's going to argue that, hey, when I went to Golden State, I still was the best player on the court. You can say whatever you want. I was the best player on the court. Yes, they had one without me, but I was the difference, and I was the best player in both of those championships. But, he left for a reason because he could have stayed there and played nice. But he wanted to leave because he wanted to show that, it's kind of like LeBron. Let's go link up with somebody that's won championships before and go play, because I think the relationship was not repairable with Russell Westbrook. He felt like he couldn't, with Russell Westbrook, he felt like they were still fighting about who's the number one guy, who's supposed to take the last shot and all that stuff. And he saw Golden State, a place where nobody cared who got the credit, and they all won. So I get that. But the move afterwards to follow Kyrie, I don't know how Kyrie was able to convince him to do that. And that's one blip in his career, and that's what he's fighting for, to get that one championship to validate itself, to prove that he can win without, Steph. Yeah, without the Warriors. So prove that he can win one. Because if he wins one or two before he retires, which he could, who cares? I don't even care if it's a Gary Payton type of title where he's like a guy coming off the bench and he wins one. He wins four. You got to have a real conversation about his place on the Mount Rushmore when you think about all the other things that he's done.
That's why I think, going back to our conversation yesterday, he's under the most pressure to win in his environment because, he's on a different level than Damian Lillard and James Harden. Those guys, are going to be Hall of Fame players. Durant has a chance, and it's a fleeting chance now because he kind of just threw away the last 4 or 5 years of his career in terms of championship success, and it doesn't look like he's any closer. But if for some reason he can find a situation or turn this current situation around, then yeah, he does have a chance to be mentioned among the all-time greatest in the history of the game.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.